We started to look at the Lord's teachings on fasting last week by looking at listening to the first half of the homily of St. John Chrysostom on fasting. And in that, he said that fasting simply from foods was not enough. He said, "Show me your works," indicating that it is a requirement of our fasting that we do our good works. We call it almsgiving. And I always say, writing the check is the easiest part. It's to visit the sick, to comfort the sorrowing, to clothe the naked. But the Lord himself speaks to his apostles about the next part, or from the Lord speaking to his apostles, St. John Chrysostom takes the next part of his homily. And that is that it isn't what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out. And the Lord in the 15th chapter of Matthew says this. Pharisees are complaining. Come on in. Welcome. We're glad to have the Pharisees were complaining that the Lord's disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate, which was a Jewish requirement. And so the Lord chastises them. And then he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." You see, that's he speaking of the Pharisees. "And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.' Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' The Lord answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch.' And then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' And so Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" So St. John Chrysostom, as you recall, had started his homily admonishing us and all who were hearing him and all who would hear him down through the centuries to fast not only from foods, but from our sins. From our sins. Then he goes on to say, "Let the mouth too fast from disgraceful speeches and railings. For what doth it profit if we abstain from birds and fishes and yet bite and devour our brethren? The evil speaker eats the flesh of his brother and bites the body of his neighbor. Because of this, Paul utters the fearful saying," and he quotes from Galatians 5th chapter, 15th verse, "If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. Thou hast not fixed thy teeth in the flesh," St. John goes on to say, "but thou hast fixed the slanderer in the soul and inflicted the wound of evil suspicion. Thou hast harmed in a thousand ways thyself and him and many others, for in slandering a neighbor thou hast made him who listens to the slander worse. For should he be a wicked man, he becomes more careless when he finds a partner in his wickedness. And should he be a just man, the hearer of the slander, he is lifted to arrogance and puffed up, being led on by the sin of others to imagine great things concerning himself. Besides, thou hast struck the common welfare of the church, for all those who hear not only accuse the supposed sinner, but the reproach is fastened on the Christian community. Neither dost thou hear the unbeliever saying, 'Such a person is a fornicator or a libertine,' but instead of the individual who has sinned, they accuse all Christians." You see, he says that when we talk about other people, what's going to happen? They're going to say, "See, that's those Christians. And I'm going to bring down evil even upon the church. But instead the Christians. In addition to this, thou hast caused the glory of God to be blasphemed. For as his name is glorified, when we have a good report, so when we sin, it is blasphemed and insulted. Another reason, he says, is that thou hast disgraced him who is ill reported, the one we're talking about, and has thus rendered him more shameless than he was by placing him in a state of enmity and hostility. And finally, thou hast made thyself liable to chastisement and vengeance by involving thyself in matters which in no way concern thee. And how true that is of gossip. All the things we gossip about in no way concern us. And so often we couch that gossip into feigned and make-believe concern for someone. Oh, poor Sally, did you hear that her husband is having an adulterous affair with his secretary? Isn't that sad? See, but instead, we have no concern for that, and it's none of our business. He says, for let not anyone tell me in reply, then I am an evil speaker when I speak falsely. But if I speak what is truth, I cease to be so. Oh, we hear that all the time. Well, it was true, right? Like, that's a defense. That in the law, in the civil law of libel and slander, truth is not necessarily a defense. Just because it's true doesn't make it a defense. And neither is it a defense before God. He goes on to say, although it be with truth thou speaks evil, this also is a crime. For the Pharisee spoke evil of the publican with truth, right? The Pharisee said, well, look, he's a publican and here I fast, and he's just a terrible tax collector. He says, the Pharisee spoke evil of the publican with truth, but nevertheless, this availed him not. For was not the latter, I ask, a publican and a sinner? It is manifest to everyone that he was a publican. But at the same time, inasmuch as the Pharisee spoke ill of him, he departed from the temple with the loss of every advantage. Dost thou wish to correct a brother? Weep. Pray unto God, take him apart, admonish, counsel, entreat him. So also Paul did. Least saith Paul, when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanliness and fornication and lasciviousness of which they have committed. If we're really concerned about somebody, go to them and speak the truth in love, privately. And tell them that of your love for them, your concern. Not to talk about it when it's none of our business. But not only do I now admonish the evil speakers, but those besides who hear others ill spoken of. I exhort to stop up their ears and to imitate the prophet who saith, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I punish. Say to the slanderer, let us be anxious about our own faith, how we may render up an account of our own transgressions and exhibit this sort of curiosity and meddlesome activity respecting our own lives. In other words, let's get to someone who wants to share gossip, say, listen, let's be concerned with our own lives. Rather than take a magnifying glass to our brother's life, let us take that magnifying glass to our lives. He who scans with bitterness the conduct of others can never obtain pardon for the sins committed by himself. For God will determine the sentence, not only from the nature of the transgression of our transgressions, but from the judgment which thou hast passed on others. Therefore he gave the admonition, judge not that ye not be judged. Therefore let us abstain from evil speaking, from foul language, from blasphemy, and let us not speak ill of our neighbor nor of God. I hear confessions not just here, but when I go to those priests' meetings or when I go to the assemblies, and we'll have confessions for all the people who are there. And so often, I tell you, one of the sins I hear confessed over and over and over again is gossiping. Gossiping. So St. John Chrysostom knows what he speaks of. Okay? He was a great confessor. And he knows that great temptation. May there, he says, be then speedily some favorable and propitious change. This certainly I foretell and testify, that although this cloud should pass away, and we yet remain in the same condition of listlessness, we shall again have to suffer much heavier evils than those we are now dreading. Remember, they were worried about the emperor was mad at this, the whole city, and the patriarch had gone off, the archbishop had gone off to intercede to the emperor. He says, listen, those things are going to only come back to us, even if this passes away, if we don't repent. He said, it's not sufficient by way of apology that we supplicate 2 or 3 days, but it is necessary that we should make a change in our life, and that whilst abstaining from wickedness, we should preserve continually in virtue. And that's our purpose of the great fast, to increase the virtue and to tame our passions. For as those who are sickly, unless they keep up a constant regimen, would find no advantage by their observing a 2 or 3 day discipline, so those who are in sin, if they do not exercise sobriety at all times, will find no benefit in 2 or 3 days amendment. You know, if somebody gets a heart attack and they go to the hospital and they're overweight and they smoke and they don't exercise, what is the doctor going to say? You're going to say, you need a change in your lifestyle. And that's what we're being implored to do by the church, to have a change in our spiritual lifestyle. Because to fast just for a little while and then to return is like the pig returning to the wallow. For as it is said, that he who is washed and is again afterwards polluted with the mire hath gained nothing. So he who has repented for 3 days and has again returned to his former state has accomplished nothing. Let us not therefore now act as we have always done hitherto, for many times when we have been surprised by earthquakes as well as famine and drought, after becoming more sober and gentle for 3 or 4 days, we did but return again to the former course. For this cause our present trouble has happened. But if we have not done so before, yet now at least let us all preserve in the same piety, let us preserve the same meekness, that we may not again need another stroke. Let us make a change, an amendment of our lives, and let us think of religion and virtue before we think of deliverance from impending distress. And in the meanwhile, I desire to fix 3 precepts in your mind to the end that you may accomplish me these during the fast: to speak ill of no one, to hold no one for an enemy, and to expel from the mouth altogether the evil custom of oaths. As when we hear that some money tax is imposed, each one is going within and calling his wife and children and servants, considers and consults with them how he may pay this tribute, so also let us do with respect to these spiritual precepts. Let everyone, when he has returned home, call together his wife and children, and let him say that a spiritual tribute was imposed this day, a tribute by which there will be some deliverance and removal of these evils, a tribute which does not make those who pay it poor, but richer. That is to say, to have no enemy, to speak evil of no man, and to swear not at all. Let us consider, let us think, let us resolve how we may fulfill these precepts. Let us exert every endeavor, let us admonish each other, let us correct each other, that we may not go to the other world as debtors, and then, needing to borrow of others, suffer the fate of the foolish virgins and fall from immortal salvation. If we thus set our lives in order, I warrant you and promise that from this there will be deliverance from the present calamity and a removal of these dreadful ills, and what is greater than all, there will be the enjoyment of the good things to come. For it were fitting that I should commit to you the whole body of virtue. But I think it best method, he says, in other words, I should commend you all the virtues. He says, but I think it the best method of correction is to take the laws by parts and reduce them to practice and then to proceed to others. For as in a given field, the husbandman digging it all up piecemeal gradually comes to the end of his task. So we too, if we make this rule for ourselves in any way, to reduce to a correct practice these 3 precepts during the present Lent, and to commit them to the safe custody of good habit, we shall proceed with greater ease to the rest. And by this means, arriving at the summit of spiritual wisdom, we shall both reap the fruit of favorable hope in the present life, and in the life to come, we shall stand before Christ with great confidence and enjoy hope and enjoy those unspeakable blessings which God grant we may all be found worthy of through the grace and loving kindness of Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom be glory to the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever. Amen. So let us then continue our liturgy with the dedication that for the rest of the fast we will seek to speak evil of no one, hold no one as our enemy, and refrain from all oaths. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.